Good morning, guys. How are we doing? Good? Awesome. Hey, glad that you guys are in the room. If you're a guest here, I'm Naeem, one of the pastors here. Excited that you're here. Hey, can we make some noise for those of us, part of us who are joining us live stream? Can we make some noise for them? Hey, welcome. Welcome. We love you. Glad you're joining us as well. So, a couple of things I want to mention really up from the beginning, okay? Right up front. So we were trying to raise $50,000. We had this a Hope for All initiative to raise $50,000. And those of you who were here last week, I told you that we've raised money. And if you don't know, we've actually raised up to now $120,000. Yeah. So stop giving to the Hope for All. You're like, what? I know. One of our pastors is like, hey, don't say that. Because this is something a pastor would never say, stop giving, right? I'm not saying stop giving, by the way. I'm saying thank you so much for giving to the Hope for All initiative. And if you still want to give, just give to tithes and offerings. Do that. If you want to give to the Hope for All because you pledge a certain amount, that's fine and all that. But hey, I just want to say thank you so much, right? Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. Give yourselves a hand. Come on. Give yourselves a hand. Yes, of course. Hey, and also want to mention to you that next Sunday, we're going to have business as usual. So no evening services. Our Christmas services are going to be in the morning, 3 in the morning, just like we have this week. All right, just want to let you guys know about that. This morning, though, I want to talk to you about this passage that we kind of jumped into last week. We kicked off a brand new series called Unto Us, and it was in the book of Isaiah. So what I want to do, I want to talk about that a little bit. Then I'm going to go through a couple passages in Hebrews and then go to Luke. And the big idea here is this next phrase that we're going to kind of unpack a little bit, and that is this idea that unto us a son is given. So let me just read you the passage. Can I do that? I'll just read you the passage that we read last week. It's Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. It says, "For unto us a child is what? Born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And so this big idea we want to unpack this morning is this idea of what does it mean that unto us, a son is given? Well, really quick, I will say this, I think we have to understand what God is really doing in your life. I think sometimes it's hard for us to know what God is doing. I mean, the reason why some of you are here this morning, you're like, I want to know what God's doing in my life. Like, I want to hear from him. Anybody want to hear from God? Anybody? Maybe like, yo, I've got some issues. Anybody? Okay, how about this? I've got some questions. Okay, more. Okay. Yeah, I've got some things. Is there anything you're praying about? Anybody? Anybody praying about something? Praying about something? Anybody? Anybody, like, not getting an answer? You're like, yeah, but we're not talking about that. Okay, anyways. We've come in with some questions. We've come in with some, hey, what are you doing? What about this? Where are you? Have you ever thought that? Like, how is this supposed to help in any way, shape, or form? What are you doing? I don't seem to hear you. What's going on? That's why we put ourselves in environments like that. That's why you tuned in. You jumped online and you're saying, hey, I want to hear what God has to say. Because for so many of us, we want to hear what God wants to say to us. But the question is, why do we find it hard to actually hear from him? The other day, I was I picked up Asher, my son. He's 14. He jumped in my car and we're driving somewhere. And all of a sudden, from out of the blue, he goes, "Dad, your car smells like trash, like garbage." I was like, first of all, you smell like garbage, okay? I was just joking, but sign up for my parenting classes, though. It's really, really great. Okay, really great. They're really awesome. How to encourage your son. But anyways, so I was joking with him. I was like, what? He's like, it smells awful. I said, what? I thought, I don't smell anything. But that doesn't mean anything, right? You guys know that, right? Because if you sit in that long enough, you just get used to it. And then I thought, maybe I left some gym clothes. So I turned around, I was like, no gym clothes. I've left some stuff there before for couple of weeks. I mean, I've done that. And I'm like, what? Nothing? I don't know. He was like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't smell anything. Okay, fine. We go somewhere. A couple of days later, I'm in the trunk of my car, open it up to get some stuff out. There's literally a garbage bag in there. Literally a garbage bag in there. 3 weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to be a good pastor, lead by example, and I'm going to grab the trash from the Hope Center, take it to the dumpster. No, I'm just going to leave it in my car. That's what I'm going to do. Left it in my car. 3 weeks. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Oh, I had to sell the car. I had to sell the car. It's so funny, though, because right when that happened, I kind of connected the dots. I was mortified not by the how bad the smell was, but the fact that I thought, how many people have sat in my car and have not said anything? Have you ever been to that point, like you find out later and you go, and you knew it all this whole time? You knew this whole time? Like, you know, if anything from like bad breath to like your zipper's down or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got like lipstick on your teeth, like whatever. You knew this and you didn't tell me? See, the truth is that there are certain things that if you are not close to someone, you can't really tell them, right? You notice it, you're like, I don't know you. If I did know you like I know you, I mean, if you were close, I would tell you, you smell like garbage. Right. In fact, there are people in your life right now that you know them, but you're not that close, you're not that up close and personal with them, and you like to tell them a lot of things, but you can't do it, right? You can't do it because you're like, I don't know you like that. I don't know you. But it will save them so much. It would save them so much. Now, why is this important? I think that there are things in your life that God wants to speak to you. It's connected to what you brought in or what you're tuned in for, and you're going, I want to hear from God. The only problem is I don't think you've allowed God to be up close and personal. He can't really say it. Because if he says it, you're going to be like, ah. I think some of us would rather, honestly, okay, would rather just have a preacher, a service, a podcast, a thing that you heard, a Instagram graphic, just tell us what God is saying, then rather just kind of go, okay, I'm getting up close and personal, tell me. So if you don't hear anything else this morning, I think that the stuff that you're dealing with, the questions that you're dealing with, is connected to how close and how personal you want to get with God. Because if you allow him close enough, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear some things that will change your life because you just won't hear them. God will whisper them into your soul and he will speak into your spirit. Those are the things that will give you life. Those are things that will radically change who you are. It'll give you the courage you need. It'll give you the faith that you long for. It'll give you the hope that you've lost. It'll give you all of those things, but you have to allow him to be up close and what? And personal. We allow him to do that. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go through a couple of passages, and I want to remind us why Christmas is about God coming up close and personal. I mean, the word, have you ever heard the word Emmanuel, anybody, right? Emmanuel, what does that mean? God with us, not for us, not in us. No, he's with us. You see, God wants to have a conversation with you, but he's got to get closer than he is right now to you. So let's look at this. What does it mean to have? Why does it say unto us a son is given? A son. God decided to enter human history. He decided to engage us as one of us. God could have brought an angel. I mean, Jesus could have been an angel. He comes in, does his thing, all that. No, but God wanted him to be a son, to be born, to be one of us, to relate to us. So that's why you know that God wants to get close. He wants to get personal because he wants to be able to say, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. I have been there. also, he sent, it was given to us. The reason why it was given to us is because God says, you need this. You need something. You need to be reconciled with God. You need to have a better understanding of your shame and of your guilt. You need a better understanding more than religion could ever offer. You need something else. And so the next passages are in the book of Hebrews. And this writer here, he's talking to Jewish people who understand religion, who understand all of this, the systems of how to do the right things to kind of get somewhere and pray certain prayers to get somewhere. And he's talking to them about a different relationship. And so here's what he says. Okay, see if you can relate to this. He says, I'll read you a couple of passages. Chapter 5, he says this. First, he says, every chief priest is chosen from humans to represent them in front of God. He's talking to Jewish people. And people will go, yeah, okay, yes, that's true. And then he goes on. He says, that is to offer sacrifices, gifts and sacrifices for sin. Because he has weaknesses, he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins in the same way that he does for the sins of other people. And they go, like, right, the priest is a human and he has to do the same thing for himself. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, he goes on. He says, but Christ came as a chief priest for the good things that are now here. He used his own blood, not the blood of goats and bulls, for sacrifice. He went into the holy place and offered this sacrifice once and for all to free us forever. He's saying Christ, though, the son that was given to us, is very different. He's not like every other priest. He's different. And then he goes on, chapter 10, he says, brothers and sisters, because of the blood of Jesus, We can now, what's that word? We can now what? Confidently go into the holy place. Jesus has opened a what? A new and living way for us. He's saying fundamentally things changed. The son that he was given to us fundamentally changed your relationship with God. Before it was a distant God. You had to do certain things to get to God. God was up in the mountain. You were in the bottom. You would send Moses or a person. No longer that's not going to happen anymore. You don't need priests anymore. You don't need anything. You can actually go up. You can get up close and personal because God has made a way. The son that was given to us has made a way. Then he goes on and he ends this. He says this. He says, this high priest, talking about Jesus, of ours, he does this. He understands our what? What now? Weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There will we receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Did you know that God understands your weaknesses? You're like, really? Like, how many of you, if you be honest, okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, when you start your prayer, if the posture that you use is always like a, sorry, like it's like always like, I know I'm not good, I'm not the best. How many of you have ever like, hey, let me introduce myself. We haven't talked in a while. I don't know. I know there are a few of us that start off with Abba, Father. We don't like you. But anyways, the rest of us though. You know, right? The rest of us, if it's really personal, if it's really like, you really want this to happen, right? You really want this to happen. You always start off not like, hey, Dad. You always go with, so. And the posture is, I know, can you give me a break? Can you kind of get some more grace here? Can I do this? I don't know if we understand that God understands our kookiness. Like, do you know that? Like, he knows you're weird. He's okay with that. Did you know that? Yeah, he knows you drink a little too much. And you definitely let it slip. He knows you cuss. People don't. Your mom doesn't. Oh, he does. He knows. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what ticks you off. He knows everything. He's kind of like Santa. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. What a creeper. Anyways, that's not biblical. Anyways, He knows us. Why is this so important? I think it's important because if you're going to engage God in hearing from him, you have to understand that he knows you. In fact, do you know that the cross of Jesus is very up close and personal? Like you've seen pictures of the cross of Jesus, you've seen movies, and always it's always predicted, kind of portrayed in such a way where the cross is like 15 feet tall. Like Jesus is up on a cross. We always say it's up on a cross. And all the paintings, the pictures, the movies are always like Jesus is like, you know, 5 feet up on the cross, and people are looking at him, and he's pretty high up. Well, that's not really true. Well, because the Roman, this is a Roman punishment, the crucifixion. And the Romans used to do this. Jesus was not the first guy to be crucified. There were many people that they crucified. And the reason why they crucified them, there were other deaths. But the reason why they crucified people was because they wanted to send a message. They crucified people because they crucified those people who were, in one sense, maybe opposition to the Romans, or it was something like it was they were saying something so much more than just "I'm going to punish you for a crime." The reason why we know this is because the crosses that they would crucify people with on were about 7 feet tall. That's it. So 7 feet tall. That's it. They wanted to send a message that was very up close and personal. They want to make sure that the person who was crucified, who was dying, slowly dying, you could actually look them in the eye. You could be face to face with them. Because Rome didn't play. They were like, if you oppose us, you're going to feel this. So people, it was like, it was a scare tactic. It was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to experience this. Families would walk by, loved ones on the cross, seeing them dying and suffering so much. So when Jesus died, it was a very up close and personal message. Rome thought it was a message of don't defy us. Jesus' message was, I'm dying for you. Very up close and personal. I will do this for you because I want to get close, up close, and personal. Question is, will you allow God to be up close and personal with you? For some of us, let's just be honest. We got hurt several years ago, maybe a decade ago. We let someone in, like it's to a point where when it fell apart, it like totally wrecked your soul. Like, I mean, it messed with your spirit. It wasn't like No, it was I'm questioning my identity. Have you ever been there? Like, it's a serious hurt. Oh my gosh, you're ripping me to shreds. I can't believe this is dying. It's so intense. And me even talking about it, you're going, stop. I don't want to think of that. Because we can't help it. We want people to be up close and personal. It's how we're wired up. It's just that if there has been a person or people that have been very personal and very up close with you and really close to you, and then something happens, you just begin to not allow anybody else to be up close and personal. That's why, like, you've been married for how long now, and your spouse still doesn't know you. You've dated so many people, but they don't really know you. Because there's always a little, no one's getting in here. No one's getting in here. No, I'm not going to share that. No, I don't know about this. Because I remember when I did, and now. The problem with that is that you do the same thing with God. You don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know you are doing it. But there are certain things, and you know this, there are certain things in your life that are inappropriate. God cannot talk about those. Like there's unhealthy habits you have, and you're like, we're not talking about that. Toxic relationships, addictive behavior, just goofy spending. There's coping to a whole new level. And you're like, but don't do that. I don't want to go there. So So there's a problem, because the stuff that you're facing, you really need God close enough to really speak to you and speak into your spirit and whisper to your soul, because that'll change your life. You need him close. Others of us, you can't bring God close because you have other people who are crowding out God in your life. They're so close to you. You have an unhealthy, codependent, can I just say toxic, bond with them that honestly, they have determined the course of your life for a very long time. And you also know that they'll continue to do that. And you feel guilty. You feel like you're carrying them. You have to carry them. And they're the closest thing to you because you're the one who's got to take them through this. And I got really silent. Hey, those of you who are watching, it's so quiet here. Yeah. And I know why. Because some of the people that you're thinking about, they're related to you. They're related to you. And you feel horrible about even thinking that. But you have to create healthy boundaries. If you don't, you'll crowd your life to such a point that there is no way that the Spirit of God can get in there and actually speak to you. So, let's do this. Let's just, for a couple of minutes go, okay, maybe we're gonna push through this. We're gonna uncrowd this whole thing. We're gonna risk and let God in. What does it look like? What does it mean? I wanna take you to a passage in Luke, and it's two stories in there. And this is where God sends an angel to speak to two different people, two different messages, okay? And let me go to the first one. So the first is that God sends an angel. This is a conversation. God sends an angel to Zechariah. Zechariah is remember John the Baptist? Anybody remember John the Baptist? Anybody know John the Baptist, right? It's his dad, okay? So this is an angel. He goes and he tells him, he goes, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John, and he will be great. He'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And then he goes on and on about all the great things he's done. Okay, he'll do. Then Zacharias starts talking, and he goes, "How can I be sure of this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Like, we don't talk about her age, but I'm just telling you that. It's not happening. It is not happening. Okay? Now, Zechariah, I have to explain this to you. He had temple duties when this was happening. This was in the temple. This is a guy who's not like, I'm new in my faith. I don't know. This guy knows Jewish history. He knows the Torah. He knows all the stories. And I'm pretty sure he knows the whole Abraham and Sarah story. Pretty sure. He was actually, this was his turn. He was at the temple for the whole week doing all kinds of priestly stuff. This guy knows his stuff. And this guy says, "I don't know about this. I'm not sure. Now, what happens? I love this part. Then the angel said, this is awesome. He says, "I'm Gabriel." Okay, this is when you see an angel having a bad day. Let me just read this for you. I might be making it up, but I'll just read it. You decide. Okay, here's how it goes. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. You're welcome. For my words, oh yeah, you can't talk anymore, but my words certainly will be fulfilled at the proper time. And Zechariah was like, nothing. The dude cannot speak for 9 months. You do not, write this down, don't tick off an angel. Like, don't. So, like, what kind of response is this? Have you ever, like, asked God for something, and you're like, oh, but how can this happen, and something worse happens? And you're like, I didn't even want to say that. I didn't, don't even know. This is 9 months. Could you imagine, and this, I don't know if this happened, but let's just go with this, okay? Because the angel went first to him, and then he goes to Mary, okay? Okay? Same angel, Gabriel, by the way. So could you imagine if Gabriel goes back to God, and they're having a conversation, and God goes, 9 months, really? Really, 9 months? Okay, I'm going to send you to Mary. Be nicer. Okay? Do what you got to do. Get yourself together. Okay? Can't do this. Because then the same angel goes to Mary. So he starts off, same thing. Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm in a good mood. No. For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. He's like, this is good. This is the best speech. This is good. This is a great monologue. And then Mary does the same thing that what's-his-face did, right? He says, but how can this happen? And I'm sure Gabriel's like, nice. He didn't say, I'm Gabriel. Does no one see the wings? Anyways, so he goes, okay, so here's how it's going to happen, okay? So the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of, yeah, how does this happen? How did it happen? And then she says, I'm a virgin. And then I'm sure the angel's like, okay, I'm not telling you to go have sex. Relax. I'm not doing that. Okay? Not doing that. I'm just telling you, this is how it's going to happen. And he tells her. And he says that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and be called the Son of God. Awesome. So here's a couple things we know when God speaks to us. Okay? When God speaks to us, number one, he knows our fears. Both instances, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hey, I know you're anxious. I get it. I know you. Don't be afraid. You're asking about this sickness. You're asking about, will this ever happen? Hey. I know you, and I know your fears. I know what you are afraid of. God needs you to know this as you talk to him. He knows your fears. Number two, he favors you. Both people, you're favored. Mary, you're favored. Zechariah, you're favored. God knows your fears. He favors you, but now it changes. He will challenge you. So when you get up close and personal, when he sends like a direct message to you, it is going to be challenging. It is not going to be normal. It is going to be past the point, the limits that you've put around yourself of what's possible. Like, I don't even know when you and I decided how we know what is impossible, right? That's even weird, right? How do we figure out what's impossible? But anyways, he's saying it's gonna be beyond your capacity to really understand. It's gonna be supernatural. It's gonna be like, how can this? I don't know. I'm one guy, I'm too old. The other, I'm too young. It's like, I need you to understand, when God talks to you, whatever his message is, it's going to challenge you. He knows your fears. He favors you. He's going to challenge you. And secondly, your response is going to be as unique as you are. And for some of you, it's 9 months of not talking. Because you know better. You know better. She's just a little girl, right? Teenage girl. But you know better. You're like, well, why is he doing this? You know better. What does the scripture say? He disciplines his kids, right? He allows certain things to happen based on our response to him. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know you or he doesn't favor you. But your response And God's response to you is not going to be like so-and-so. You see, sometimes our lives are like, God, would you just bless me like, what's his face? Like, I want that. But the answer to my question is that. I'm not the same person, not the same question, different context, but that blessing is awesome. I just want that. And he's like, I'm not doing that for you, because what you need is unique to you. I'm not a God who's far off and generic. I'm not a God who's distant. I'm personal. I want to get up close to you. You were uniquely and intentionally created. Why would you think that I would want to lead you through just messages you hear at church? That was not the plan. The plan was for you to have a one-on-one relationship with me, where I get so close that I speak into your spirit and I whisper into your soul. That's the kind of relationship I'm looking for. And the kind of response I think we need to have is what Mary had. Her response is this: I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Very different from, let everything I have said come true. Let everything I've prayed for come true. The posture it needs to be is, hey, whatever you have said about me, come true. Whatever you have dreamt about me, come true. Let it, all the things that you thought about and have plans for, that's what I'm aligning myself to. So this morning, as we close, here's the question. How close, how personal do you want to get with him? I mean, you can be like, hey, I'm good. But if you want him to speak to you, to answer you, to lead you, to guide you, to give you this confidence that you see in other people, you gotta let him come up really close, really personal. Allow him to talk about a lot of things in you and about you, to transform you, to change you. Because as long as you do, you're never going to get this. Like, I meet people who go, I tried Jesus, I didn't get anything. I tried church. And I'm like, I know you did. Sure you did. But coming to a service and hearing something and trying to apply it, and hearing about him, but if you don't let him come up close, it's not going to happen. And I wouldn't fault you to not believing and not risking and not having the faith. I wouldn't fault you, because you don't know him like I know him. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. God, as we respond, God, allow us to have the courage to know that you want us up close and personal. You want us to be able to have conversations that are so raw and real, that God, that change us but mold us to the person we were created to be. Father, I pray that we would do whatever we need to do to erase the boundaries that we put in our lives to what we think is possible. That God, for some lie out there, we trust that we know what is really possible and what is not possible. Father, we throw all of that out. We ask you, God, as we respond to you, you would draw us closer, because we want to get closer. As we receive communion, as we light candles for someone, as we go to the cross, as we sing, God, would you pull us closer this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand and respond.